Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hi, this is Ashley with Prevent Connect, and today I'm here with Annie Lyles from Prevention Institute. Hi, Annie. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Well, we're so happy to have you today because we're going to talk about your session at the National Sexual Assault Conference. Your session was All Communities Are Not Created Equal, Opportunities for a Health Equity Approach Within Sexual Assault Prevention. It was a really great session, and I actually got a chance to attend that session. So first, I just wanted to ask if you could give us an overview of what you talked about.
Well, sure. I mean, I think one of the reasons I was excited about coming to NSAC was the folks in the audience. So really took advantage of that and really brought kind of a discussion and had a really lively kind of dialogue on what is a health equity approach in sexual assault prevention and what are the possibilities around it. So mostly I brought in a couple tools about, you know, the thinking that folks have already done in terms of, you know, what is the basics of that health approach, focusing on population-based approaches, you know, working on risk and resilience factors, and then focusing on prevention, and then thinking about what that might look like if we put that onto the lens of sexual assault and kind of who's been doing what so far.
I noticed it, too. The audience was really engaged in the session. This was something they really wanted to talk about.
You know what? It was interesting because, you know, I always worry that, oh, no one's going to be interested in this. You know, it's not the touchy-feely, I have the answer, you know, session. It was at a jam-packed room, and we had a really diverse group of people talking about it, which I really appreciated. A lot of different perspectives. No one has the answer, but there's clearly a group of folks in this movement that are very interested in thinking about what this looks like. And, you know, one of the angles folks are interested in looking at is kind of looking at the social determinants of health, looking about how race plays a factor, how ethnicity is kind of one of these themes that goes through sexual assault prevention that we don't always talk about, and really looking about kind of the equity issues with the community level that are playing out within our prevention that whether or not we acknowledge them, everyone agreed, they're still playing out. So what is it that we can do to kind of get better informed and be more strategic in our prevention efforts?
One thing that I really noticed is that the audience, it wasn't necessarily a public health audience. It was folks from all over, from community-based organizations, and we did have public health folks as well, but it was a good mix. And so we spent some time talking about what is equity, and people brought up the fact that we're talking about social justice and other terms that maybe people don't expect to hear in public health, but you really showed how this applies to us, whether we're in public health or we're coming from another approach.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes we get a bit siloed even in our own thinking where it's like, oh, I have a feminist model or, oh, I have a social justice model, I have a public health model. But in the end, when we think about it, we want to make sure that everyone has access to the same opportunities for good health and fulfilling and productive life. That's what we're really talking about when we're talking about health equity. And I think pretty much everyone can get behind that statement, and you can name it whatever you need to name it, you know, to get ground locally. But one of the things that's important to think about it is this idea of health equity and social determinants of health and how, as a sexual violence prevention movement, we can really add value to the work that the folks are doing under that umbrella.
So you spent some time looking at the risk and resilience factors for intimate partner violence, and the audience had a lot to say about how using this health equity approach, we can really address those.
Yeah, you know, I think we have a lot of ideas about kind of what might change dynamics around sexual violence. We have a lot of ideas about what's going to change the dynamics around sexual assault. But when we're thinking about prevention, the World Health Organization's kind of best available research really pointed to poverty and some norms around gender that are supportive of violence, ideologies of male sexual entitlement, exposure to child maltreatment, substance use. It was very interesting that all of these things kind of link hand in hand with the health equity issue.
Yes, and then you moved on to the implications for strategies.
Right. I mean, I think one of the things that's interesting is we have this sense of kind of what are the risk and resilience factors. But, you know, in that same document, you get to kind of which primary prevention strategies you know, are most promising with the evidence available. And when you get to sexual violence, it's all question marks and even some X's, which signifies potentially harmful. So we know, you know, some things we shouldn't be doing in communities when it comes to preventing sexual violence. But when we kind of take this health equity approach and start looking at some of these potential strategies, it really got a robust dialogue going. We don't have the science of the answer, but we have practitioners committed to this in the communities. The kind of missing piece is, you know, are we talking about it?
And that's something I really noticed as a participant in the session, was that when we were talking about the strategies and the evidence, it brought up this idea of community wisdom and really valuing the wisdom and the strengths in our communities.
There was an overwhelm that also came up, right, that we can't rely on, you know, the same folks for everything, and that, oh, we're going to ask them to figure out sexual violence as well when we think about health equity. And, you know, there's this fine line of thinking about, you know, who gets to be the expert? Who is it that we're asking time of to think through the issues? And I felt like in the session, people really talked about how partnership was a really important part of thinking about health equity, and that we had to go beyond kind of our usual partners to think about how it is we're contributing outside of our kind of field.
And then you ended with imagine the possibilities, which I think everyone loved. It was a very positive note to end on, and it really got to that piece of, you know, we talk about what we don't want a lot, but we don't as much talk about what we want and what we want to promote.
Yeah, you know, this was something that we actually got some time to hear from the folks in the room, and I really heard from them that, you know, part of doing this work is thinking about platforms and mentorships. How are we mentoring kind of the next generation, the folks that kind of get this, that are already thinking about it? How are we being mentored by them? And then how are we setting up a process that allows us to identify shared goals? It's not so much that we had to go take on health equity and start doing that work, but how is it that we have relationships where those shared goals can kind of be fertilized and come to fruition? And that was one of the most kind of impactful things coming out of the community and some of the dialogue going back and forth about this. Is one of the tensions in the room was, do we call this sexual violence prevention, or because it's prevention, can we call it youth development, and do we not even need to mention that word? And there's not a clear answer on that, but it's a clear question to kind of consider as you do this work.
Well, I think that's one of the values of looking at a health equity approach, because it does bring up those questions. And so if we're talking about this kind of big concept of equity, what does that mean and what does it take to get there?
Yeah, you know, we've done some work, you know, specifically thinking about it as it relates to youth violence as part of our Unity work. And so we have this kind of key document, we call it our fact sheet, on violence and health equity, and we've done some work on looking at the inequities and the risk and the resilience factors and how they tie in. It might be really interesting to kind of use that as a starting point to go a little bit deeper in this conversation.
Absolutely, and I would love to continue the conversation with you. I think for now we'll leave it there, but we'll look forward to future conversations. And so I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us and to talk about health equity and approach, and that's something we'll be talking about a lot more in the future. So thank you, Annie.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Anytime, Ashley.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CalCASA.org.